Together today and worship you and sing songs about heaven and songs that lift up your name, Lord. We pray that you be in every part of this service, touch every heart. Let no one leave without saying, Lord, I felt you today, Lord, and that's the most important thing of why we meet together. Lord, we thank you for all you do. We're going to continue to praise you. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song together. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Amen. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, to call him mine. All in all that fills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. And love of Christ so free given, grace of God beyond degree, oh, and mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, oh, and all that fills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. On these last two verses, if you're able, will you stand with me as we sing, every need his hand supplying, and by the crystal flowing river, sing with me, every need and supply you, and every good in him I see, and on his strength I am relying. He is all in all to me. Yes, and all that fills my soul is Jesus. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransom I will sing, and forever and forever praise and glorify the King. Oh, and all that fills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Amen. Thank you for your good singing. You may be seated.
I came back to him. vessel so worthy, unworthy, my scorned with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless thy Jesus. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his image. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor. I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, I am the clay, molded in his image. He wants me to stay. When I stumble and fall, and my vessel breaks, he just picks up the pieces. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor. I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jane. What a precious reminder this morning that God loves us so much. You know, there's only one person who ever came to this planet, lived and walked, put footprints in the sand, who is perfect. That's Jesus. All of us have got to come to the cross and recognize and acknowledge that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We need His grace. And for so many of us this morning, may hopefully all of us, we've done that. We're still not perfect, but we're being made perfect day by day. And I'm thankful today for that reminder that God never throws the clay away. He keeps on fashioning us and making us until He makes us what we need to be. And one day, we're going to be perfect forevermore. Amen. Thanks again, Jane. God bless you. Beautiful, beautiful song. I want to take a moment today just to invite the ushers to come forward, if you would. We're going to acknowledge our new friends today, and I just get my ushers to come to the front. Would you come to the front, gentlemen? And then we'll just work our way back. But if you're here today, this is your very, very first time at Nettles Island Church. Maybe you saw it in the bulletin. You saw the banner that was on the porch banister out there yesterday, or somebody invited you. But today is your very first day. If this is that, would you slip up a hand? And we're going to give you a little gift today. We've got gifts just to give out to our new friends. Anybody first time? Well, we've got some all over the place. All right. Up here by the door, next to Bruce, I saw some other hands over here. We don't want to miss anybody today. We're just so thankful and so grateful to the Lord that you chose to worship today with us. And got some right up in the front here, Joe. You ushers are going to have to work hard this morning. Anybody over here that we missed on this side? I'll get, since Joe's right here. There you go. There you go. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, let's do what we always do, and let's welcome our new friends today to Nettles Island Church. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Amen. Now, I have another question, and this has to do with Easter Sunday that's coming at the end of this month. I know it's the first Sunday in March, and Easter Sunday is the last Sunday in March. So we've got a few weeks in between, but we are trying to determine as leadership here whether we're going to need to add a service or if we can squeeze everybody into two. And one of the ways we can do that is to ask in these next several weeks, and we'll be asking this, and we want you, if you raise a hand today and I ask it next week, raise a hand next week, because numbers will change, and we're going to try to tie that all together. But how many of you will not be here on Easter Sunday? You're actually planning to leave ahead of time. Just lift a hand as high as you can. All right, just keep it up for a minute. Joe and Don are getting counts this morning. You're not going to be here for Easter Sunday. That may make the difference whether we do two services or whether we need to add a service. We do have 50 kids coming from Hudsonville, Michigan. Baseball players will be with us on Easter Sunday. They're going to come in and crowd into a service. It'll be good to have them today. Did you guys get the count? We good? Tell me when you're good. Good? All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate that so very, very much. Like I said, there are sign-up sheets, and we're going to plan, just in case for right now, we're going to plan for an 8 o'clock service, right? That's really, really early. And we're going to ask the baseball players are going to come to 8 o'clock. They are going to come. Now, we are going to feed them, so there's an incentive to get them here early. And they'll be at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9, and then 9:30 to 10:30, and then 11 to noon. So the hours will change for Easter if we need that, but this will determine the next couple weeks if we're going to do that. On the back table is a sign-up sheet. You're welcome today to sign up for the early service, middle service, or late service. And if we don't do the early, we'll go back to our regular schedule, but we'll just accordingly plan with how you've signed up for the first or the second service. Everybody confused as much as I am right now? All right, good, good. I'm glad that you're not. Amen. I am so excited this morning to be with you today and to feel God's presence in this place. It's just good to be able to come together and just settle in to where God's love and God's Spirit just rests upon us. And I just trust today that as we just continue on in this service, that you'll just have an open heart. If you want to receive from the Lord, you've got to come with an open heart. Anything that's closed, doors that are closed never receive anybody on the inside. Hearts that are closed never receive all that God has. But God has good things in store for you, His people, this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour into your life. He wants to be made more real and more known to you today and to me than we were when we came in. And so let's just worship Him today with open hearts. Amen. It's a privilege this morning to reintroduce, you know, our choir. They've been just singing this whole season. What a great, great ministry we have. You know, a lot of churches don't do choir anymore, but we have choir today, and they're going to be singing At the Name of Jesus. So choir, come and minister to us and be blessed, church, as they do.
sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish, and burdens can stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name. Blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess Him to be Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power in His name.
Power in the name of Jesus. We're going to go to prayer this morning. What a beautiful song to lead us into prayer. Thank you, choir, Lori and Sherry. Just a beautiful, beautiful song. Power in the name of Jesus. Hell trembles. Satan is afraid. He knows the power in the name of Jesus. If you have your bulletins, you know that we have added names again this week. We have a great prayer list in you know, we're praying and we're believing God, and some things happen very quickly, and some things we just have to hold steady. Ask, seek, and knock. And those verbs for ask, seek, and knock in the Bible don't mean you ask one time and God just jumps in, we snap our fingers. He's working when we're asking. He's changing us. He's working in us. But God is a God of great things. Nothing is impossible for Him. And miracles work. And so let's go to prayer this morning. We've added to our list Margaret Hyder. She's a Charlie and Margaret are our missionaries that we support their ministry in Haiti. And she's having tests done. And Jack Wellbaum is Ruth Ellen's brother-in-law. And he's going through physical issues today. Sandy Wismer and Neil Simon, all of them having physical needs. And then there's so many other needs. As I look at this list, it's a big list, but God's bigger. God's greater. Nothing too hard for our God. And so would you join me this morning? Join your faith with mine as we ask God to minister to our church and to our people today. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the reminder that at the name of Jesus, the chains are broken. And Lord, there's healing and there's miracles and there's victory. And God, we read about that throughout the Gospels. And we read about how Jesus came and how He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened, and the ears of the deaf and they could hear, and the lame were made to walk. And even those times where Jesus raised the dead. nothing too hard for you. And so, Lord, today we would just humble ourselves before the throne of God. We bring our lives before you. And we know, God, that in ourselves we can't do anything. The Bible says apart from you we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ. And so, Lord, we come today with the all things of faith. And we bring our faith to you. And we ask today that you would touch these on this list this morning. God, that you would intervene and that you would undertake. And that, God, that miracles would begin to happen. That healings would begin to flow. That power of God would begin to work in the lives of your people in a special way, even today and this week. And, God, that we would hear the testimonies and the victories of Almighty God. Lord, we are reminded today that you love us so much, and that you said that you came to save us and to deliver us and to heal us and to make us well. And so, Father, we just trust you today that every need will be met. We thank you for it. And Father, as we open the Word of God today, as we launch Operation Andrew, we pray that your presence would just settle in upon us, that our hearts would be ready to receive the Word of God gladly this morning. We would receive it for your sake and for your glory. And for the lost. Lord, bless this word, anoint it, use me to bring it, Father, with your anointing upon it. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you have a Bible with you today or you're using your phone, a Bible app on your phone, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42 will be our text this morning. And we're going to talk about this little card. In your bulletin this morning was a little insert card like this called Operation Andrew. And there are more of those. I know that some of you as couples, you want to save trees and paper, and that's wonderful. So you take one bulletin as a couple instead of two. But there are extras of these. And I would love when you're leaving today, if you don't have one in hand, that you would pick one up at the back door or the pool door as you go out today. Take one of these if you're a couple and you didn't get one in because the other spouse or the other significant person this morning has that card. We're going to talk about that at the end, but the message this morning is related to this, and I am so excited to be able to bring to you something today that I think is going to dynamically change the atmosphere of the way Nettles Island Church responds here on Nettles Island, and I'm excited about it. So let's look at our text this morning. The title of the message is Andy Brought Pete. Andy Brought Pete. We'll talk about that. So verse 35 says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked them, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with Jesus, with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon Peter and tell him, we've found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. All of that is important this morning, but the very last verse that you see up there, and he brought him to Jesus, is the crux of what I'm going to talk to you about today. You see, Andrew, or Andy, and I may go back and forth, and I mean Andrew no discourtesy or offense when I call him Andy, but I think if we lived today, we'd go by our nicknames, wouldn't we? I mean, I'm Robert when I'm in trouble. Hopefully you call me Rob when you like me. So Andy, first of all, goes and finds his brother Simon, or Pete. He's later named Peter by Jesus. He finds Pete, and he says to him, we have found the Messiah. We found the Savior. And he brings Pete to Jesus. More than 50,000 people were interviewed in a survey, and they were asked why they came to church. Between 75 and 95%, I'll give you the exact percentage in a minute, but between 75 and 90% of the respondents said this. They said, I began attending because someone invited me. Because someone invited me. You know what? The statistics went on and they said 2% of people attended church for the first time because they saw an advertisement or saw a banner or saw it somewhere. Only 2%. 6% of people come to church because the pastor gets out there and invites people. So pastors don't have the same amount of clout as the people that you know. 86%, that's the number between 75 and 90, but it's 86% attended church and began to follow Jesus Christ because a friend or a neighbor or a relative invited them. Just like we're seeing this morning, and Andy brought Pete to Jesus. Now yet, knowing that that's the stat, only 2% of church folks ever invite an unchurched person to church. So 86% of people will come if we invite them, but we're just not doing that. And so only 2% invite people to come to church so that they can hear the gospel proclaimed. But I believe this morning, church, that we are going to change the dynamic of those numbers as we move forward through this month and as we get into the Easter Sunday services. We are going to change those numbers in a most positive way for Easter Sunday. Our passage of Scripture this morning shows us a simplistic yet very powerful means of bringing someone who is lost to Jesus. It could be a family member, it could be one of your friends, or it could be the neighbor that lives on the right or the left or across the street from you who needs to experience God's grace and God's love and forgiveness. And we all know people who need to hear the good news, the gospel, God's plan of salvation and eternal life. Now, Andrew is mentioned only a few times in the New Testament. I don't know if you've ever studied the different disciples or the apostles, or you've done people study. Sometimes I do that. And he's only mentioned a few times in all of the New Testament, but on each occasion, we see Andrew introducing people to Jesus. That was his mission. And that's our mission this morning. That was his mission. That was his purpose. We see and we read this morning in our passage that first he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Then in John chapter 6, we're not going to turn there, but you know the story. There's this day when Jesus has been teaching on the hillside and thousands of people are there. And Jesus says to his disciples, look, we can't send these folks home without feeding them. Let's feed them. What do we have? And they said, We don't have anything. And they pull out empty pockets and they say, we don't have anything. One of the disciples said it would take a year's wages to go to the grocery store and buy all the food we're going to need to bring back here and set up tables and feed all these people. And yet it was Andrew who goes and finds a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish and brings him to Jesus. You know the rest of the story, the miracle that took place. And then in John chapter 12, we see that it's Andrew who, at Passover time, there is a company of Greeks that have given their heart to the Jewish faith, and they're following the Jewish faith, and all of a sudden they hear about Jesus, and they want to meet Jesus, and they run into Andrew, and as they begin to engage together and talk, Andrew says, come on, I'll take you guys, and you can meet Jesus. And so Andrew, in John chapter 12, brings a group of Greeks to Jesus Christ. The most important reason and purpose of our living as believers is to introduce other people to Jesus. The most important thing. I'm not saying there aren't lots of important things, and we have family, and we have children, we have grands and greats, and we want to be in their lives, and we have spouses, many of us, and we want to care for our spouses, and there are many wonderful things and important things that we are to do, but the Bible, Jesus gave us in the Bible a commission, one commission, the Great Commission, and he told us to do what? Go into the world and proclaim the gospel. And so this is our greatest and most important purpose, and we may just be ordinary people like Andrew. We look around, we look in the mirror in the morning and go, I'm just a regular guy or I'm just a regular gal. I don't have anything special. I don't have some great skill set or skill level, or I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards, and I haven't memorized all these passages in Scripture. But listen, we're just ordinary people like Andrew. But the Lord can use us and wants to use us to bring people to Jesus Christ. Now, thinking about Andrew, he isn't known as one of the power apostles, as I'm saying. He didn't rank up there with the apostle Paul or the apostle, his brother, the apostle Peter. We're not told that he ever preached one sermon. It's not recorded that he got up and he preached to anybody, but he led people to Jesus. And significantly, he led his brother Pete to Jesus. Significant, why? Well, we see in the scriptures that Peter, after he comes to Christ and he puts his faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Messiah, that all of a sudden the work of the Holy Spirit starts to move through him, and Peter preaches many sermons that brought thousands upon thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Andrew brings Peter, and Peter then is anointed by God, and all of a sudden there's this great upswell of the work of God. We see in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. You know that passage if you've been saved for a while and you've been in your Bible. It's the day of Pentecost as Christ has ascended to the Father and he's in heaven. The Holy Spirit's been given, and Peter stands up and he begins to preach and proclaim the salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people get saved on Peter's first sermon. I got to tell you, I'm a little envious this morning. Wow. How amazing is that? That was God all the way. His very first sermon. He hadn't even been to Bible school yet. But he got it right somehow. And so Peter preaches in 3,000. And then the next chapter, Peter is preaching again. And it's after he has been arrested for preaching the gospel. See, he and John had gone into the temple. And on the way to the temple, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They looked at a guy and he was crippled from birth. And they said, "Silver and gold have we not, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And God's power hits this crippled man. And this man rises up. And so all the people in the temple come running. And Peter starts to preach about Jesus. And so the priests, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, Sadducees, they get mad and they arrest Peter and John. They put them into prison and they don't know what to do with them, and they let them out of prison after a while. And so they come out and they tell them, "Don't you dare talk about Jesus again. Don't lift up that name." And they said, "We got to do it. We're going to do it. Don't matter what you think. We're going to do it." And so what happens is there's this audience after they come out, and Peter preaches again, and 5,000 men. So how many women? How many kids? How many? 5,000, Acts chapter 4, come to know Jesus Christ because Andrew, who never preached a sermon, brought his brother to Jesus. The Bible also records God working through Peter's life with signs and wonders and miracles. The healing of the sick, the crippled that I just mentioned in Acts 3, raising the dead in Acts chapter 9, Tabitha, whose name was also Dorcas, is dead, and Peter goes and prays and God raises her up. But there would have been no sermons from Peter. There would have been no miraculous works that brought glory to God. There would have just been this guy named Peter out on his fishing boat the rest of his life, throwing nets and bringing in fish and feeding a community and not feeding them spiritual food and bringing people to the Lord so that they could spend eternity in heaven. There would not have been any of that had it not been for the faithful, personal, soul-winning effort of Andrew. Andy brought Pete to Jesus. And Pete ended up bringing multitudes to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. You see, not every Christian, not every one of us can be an Apostle Paul or an Apostle Peter, but every one of us can be an Andrew today. You just never know. The person that you invite to come with you to church on this coming Easter Sunday, the person that you share your story of faith with, may be used by God when they find Christ as Savior, and they might do things that seem impossible. You see, it's simple. If we do our part, God will do the rest. Most of us have never heard of a man named Edward Kimball. You ever hear of anybody know Edward Kimball? I'm going to tell you about him. He was a Sunday school teacher back in the 1800s. All he did was study his lesson. He was faithful in his church. He went to church every Sunday and he taught a classroom of young boys. He would study, he would pray, he would teach. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't the worship leader. He didn't do the big things at church on Sunday morning that draw the crowds in, but just quietly and without any fanfare, he went week after week and he would teach those boys the Word of God in Sunday school class. He went one day to, as he was living his life as a Sunday school teacher and as a worker in the community, one day he stopped by a place where a little boy in Boston worked in a shoe shop, and he shared Jesus Christ with D.L. Moody. You've heard of him, especially from Michigan and Chicago, Illinois. You know D.L. Moody. About the conversion, D.L. Moody gave his heart to Jesus because Edward Kimball decided to go and share, just introduce him to Jesus. About the conversation, Kimball says, "I never could remember just what I did say. Something about Christ and his love. That was all." He said it was a weak appeal. He didn't even feel good about the way he presented it, but he just was obedient. But Moody gave his heart to Christ that day through it. And as a result, Moody went on to preach great revivals in America and England, and he founded Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, which still is there and operates today and has trained thousands and thousands and thousands of missionaries and evangelists and pastors that are out there around the world and have gone over the 20th century. Now in the 21st century, they're still training them, and they're going out and they're winning people to Jesus Christ, and the work is just ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, and it's all because of one person, an Andrew by the name of Edward Kimball. I can be an Edward Kimball. You can be an Edward Kimball. We can do this. Moody made this quote, many quotes, but here's one. He said this: "There are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us are willing to do the little things." Let's just start with the little things. Let's just start saying, "God, Jesus, use me and find something for me. Give me some boldness just to show some love of Jesus, just to invite somebody to come with me to church on a particular Sunday." In this case, for us, Easter Sunday. You see, Andrew was like that. He never sought the spotlight for himself, but he was content to point other people to Jesus. Yet, because he was faithful and unselfish in his witness, Peter came to Christ, and through Peter, we know in the Bible, many others came. And this could very possibly be the way that our neighbors and our friends and our family will be one to the Lord, one at a time. One at a time. You've probably heard this story. I thought of it yesterday as I was going over my notes. Story of the starfish. One day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking up and gently throwing things back into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "Young man, what are you doing?" The little boy said, "I'm throwing these starfish back into the ocean. The surf's up and the tide's going out, and if I don't throw them back, they're going to die," the boy replied. The man laughed out loud and said, "Do you realize, little boy, that there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of these starfish? You can't possibly make a difference." After politely listening, the little boy bent down, without saying a word, picked up another starfish, and he threw it into the surf. He looked up and smiled at the man, and he said, "I made a difference to that one." We can make a difference. The moral of that is every one of us can make a difference, even if that difference just affects one person on Easter Sunday morning, and we see what God will do with us and with them. You see, what you do makes a difference in life. Every one of us are doing things every day, and what you do makes a difference. You have to decide, and I have to decide, what kind of difference we want to make. You and I might not be able to reach everyone, the starfish in the sea, but we can reach someone for Jesus Christ. Years ago, a new Christian, a 24-year-old young man named Albert McMakin. Anybody ever heard of Albert McMakin? Sounds like he should work at McDonald's, doesn't it? Albert McMakin. Years ago, this new Christian, he just found Jesus. He was excited about his salvation and what Jesus had done for him. And he decided that he was going to go to this crusade. And so he called his friends together and gathered his friends, and he loaded them up in his pickup truck, and he drove them every night to an evangelistic campaign in his city. Now, I know you said we've not heard of McMakin. But you're probably familiar with one of the passengers that was on his truck, a young man who was converted to Jesus Christ at that crusade that week. His name, Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Albert McMakin, a new believer, didn't even probably know how to witness, but said, I've found the Messiah. I've found the Lord. Would you guys come with me? Jump in the truck. And they came. And Billy Graham was one of those and gives his life to the Lord. And you and I know the impact that Billy Graham's made for the kingdom of God. I did some study this week on that. And 2.2 billion, that's the estimated number of people that have heard Billy Graham preach in Billy Graham's years of ministry. 2.2 billion people have heard the gospel through Billy Graham's ministry. 215 million are the estimated number of people that have been preached to at all the gospel events. So Billy Graham preached to over 215 million people himself, live, not on TV, people watching. That was the first number. And then we come down to conversions or salvations. 2.2 million is the number estimated of people at his crusades who responded to the invitations to become a Christian. So if these, and it's estimations, but they're close. That means that Billy Graham preaching the gospel in his lifetime has been used of God to bring 2.2 million people who will be in heaven because he preached the word of God. Some of those people went on to become pastors and evangelists and missionaries and Christian workers and soul winners. And can you imagine how exponentially the decisions of Christ are ongoing today and ongoing today and ongoing today? And we're going to talk about this. There's a crown that God gives to the soul winners. And Billy Graham, he's in heaven today. You know, he went to be with the Lord a number of years ago. But those people that came out of his ministry that are still working, and those that will come after that and after that and after that, will all be able to attribute back to Billy Graham. It reminds me of that Ray Bolt song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. And that song talks about a Sunday school teacher that gave an opportunity, just like we talked about Edward Kimball, and a little boy gave his heart to the Lord. The song talks about a missionary that came and preached, and somebody didn't have much but gave just a little bit of money, and that money was used overseas, and some foreigner overseas gave their life to Jesus because a missionary could be sent. And oh, how wonderful it goes, and it goes on and on and on. You know, somebody once asked Billy Graham this. They said, how many people have you saved over the years in your ministry? And Billy Graham's answer is amazing. I love it. He said, neither I nor my associates have ever led even one person to Jesus. Because only God can save a soul. And he said, how many of you saved? How many people have you saved over the years? Only Jesus can save. But we can bring them. We can lead them. And Billy went on to say, because only God can save them and bring them from spiritual darkness into light, all we can do is point them to Christ and then trust the Holy Spirit to bring them to faith. And I say amen to that. It's not that hard. We just point them. We bring them like Andrew did. The Holy Spirit is the one who will do the work that brings them into faith. You know, and he goes on, Billy Graham went, at the same time, God has given every Christian the privilege and the responsibility of telling others about Christ. No, we aren't all called to be preachers, but we're all called to be witnesses to Christ's life-changing power. He goes on even more and says, Christ's final words to his followers underline this, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Billy asked the question, are you praying for those around you who don't know Christ? And are you living lives of confusion and hopelessness as a result of not knowing Jesus? And are you seeking to share Christ with them both by your words and your life? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Billy asked this, what kind of light are you? What kind of light are you? That's a great question this morning. What kind of light are we? What kind of light am I today? You see, Andrew was a bright light. And like you and me, he sought personally for the truth. He was a seeker. He was looking for the truth, and he found the Messiah. And when he discovered the truth of God's grace and God's forgiveness and his everlasting life that's found only in Jesus Christ, he simply couldn't keep it to himself. And so with a heart that was filled and overflowing, he went to find his brother and others. And he told Peter, "We found the Messiah, the Savior. Come with me. Come with me." And so that's the day that Operation Andrew began. Over 2,000 years ago, and it continues today. Take your card if you have it, and if you're with somebody that you only have one, just kind of look over with them. I believe that God is going to do something with us and for us. I'm praying for this island. I want this island to know Jesus. God didn't put Nettles Island Church in place so that we could just have a convenient place to come and worship on Sunday and give Him glory. But He's called us to reach those around us. And so this is a little opportunity, a little plan that will work. And I want to go over it with you just really, really quickly. And then we're going to stand and we're going to have a prayer. And then we're going to dismiss after that. On the screen this morning, you'll see what's on the back side of this, but I want to explain the front side of this. I'm not going to read the paragraph because you've read that or you can read it today, but there's a place on the front of this card for seven names. I'm not saying you have to do seven. I want you to pray and ask God, who do you want me to invite on Easter Sunday? He may give you one friend. He may give you a family member. He may give you a neighbor. Maybe it's a couple, and you'll put their name. Don't worry about having it filled up. You might have to come back and pick up another card because maybe you have 15, 14, 16. I don't know. But I want us to hear God. I want us to see what God is saying to us so that we follow His steps and His leading. And so the front of this card is a place for you over the next couple of weeks as you're praying and God starts to inspire your heart with the name of somebody to list that name. On the back side of this card, it's marked by weeks, and it starts, week one starts today, goes through the 9th. Week two will be next Sunday. Week three, the next Sunday after. Week four is Miracle Sunday. Week five is really the day of Easter. And it says up here, and I won't belabor it because it's here, but the first thing we're going to do in this week is our task is to look around, to begin to look around your mission field right here, right where you live. Right where you work, or right where you spend time socially, right where you're, you know, playing putt-putt or pickleball or whatever it is that you're doing, or coming to social events here downstairs in the cafe, wherever it might be. I want you to look around and I want you to be praying. See, that pray is in caps because this week, before we start listing names, I want you to pray. God, show me who you want on my list. And this is the week to begin to do that. If you don't get a name this week, that's okay. Within the next couple of weeks, I'm believing that we'll know the name. So you've got this week, you've got next week. But next week, as we come together, we're going to look up because God changes people through prayer. So we're going to look up and we're going to say, God, this is a simple little program, but it'll only work if you do it, God, through me. I can't do this by myself. Listen, I know that some of us are very shy. I don't think I have that problem anymore. I used to be. But some of you may be very shy. But you can just say, hey, listen, folks, you're right here. Come with me to Easter services and get a commitment from them. And then we go to the next slide. And then on week number three, we're going to look out. Look for ways to cultivate that friendship. Do something with that person. Spend some time, that family member, that neighbor. Look for a way to intentionally share your faith by introducing them to Jesus. Now that's a big thing, and I'm not saying you have to do it that way, but spend time with them. You know, the Bible says, St. Francis of Assisi said this, he said, everywhere you go with everyone you meet, preach the gospel, but only use words when necessary. You can spend time with these people as you're looking out, they're on your list, and you just start to look out and you say, I just want Jesus to flow out of me. Get up in the morning and say, God, when I spend time with my friend or my family member, my coworker, my neighbor, would you just let them see something in me that's Jesus? We can do that. And if you feel, if the door opens and you can share your faith, share your story, your faith is your story, how you met Jesus. And then the fourth week, we're going to look forward by inviting those people. Now, that's on the program, but if you get a chance to invite them earlier and they say yes, if you feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit, these weeks can be interchanged. You don't have to go, well, I can't do that. Rob said I have to wait till week number 4 to invite them. God may get you as you start to talk to them. They might be so open to hear, and you might say, you know what, Easter's coming in a couple of weeks. We got a busy month, but where are you going to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Would you be my guest? Would you join me? Would you come with me? Would you think about it? And then just ask them. If they don't say yes, and you can't, you still have their name there, just start praying. God will work in their heart and work on their lives. And then the last one is after we come on Easter Sunday, we're going to look after. We're going to encourage those who've responded to Christ or who even showed an interest by coming to church. We're going to continue to love on them and pray for them and care for them. And even the ones, if you have a list and that person, you have a list and that person says, nope, I'm not coming to church. The ceiling's going to fall in if I go into that church, and I'm not coming. And so you come to church Sunday and go, man, this didn't work for me. You don't know that because you've done your part. All Andrew could do was go to his brother Simon Peter and say, I found the Savior. Would you come with me to meet him? If Peter would have said no, if he'd have said no, it would have been the end. But God was at work, and Peter said yes. I believe that this is something that started, like I said, years and years ago, 2,000 years ago. And God has prompted my heart to make this available to us as we come into the Easter service. The Bible says, first of all, if you can, would you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer. We're going to sing in a minute, but we're going to close. It'll be quick and short. But I want you to hear this verse. I want you to hear this. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says this, the fruit of the righteous, that's you. Well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. It doesn't say perfect. Are you righteous because the righteousness of Jesus covers you? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You have life in you to give to others. And then it says, he who wins souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Steve's going to lead us in a chorus together. Jesus, use me. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment. And then we're going to have our closing song and dismiss. Would you make this your prayer this morning? Just maybe hold this little card in your hand if you have it. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Lead us in it, would you?
Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. And dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. And my eyes of faith I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Oh, and Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even
Father, this morning, we hold a little piece of paper, a little green card in our hands. It's just a tool. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing great. In many ways, there's nothing special about this little piece of paper, but it's what it represents. Jesus, you came into this world to seek and to save the lost. And I thank you today that I've been found, and I thank you for the lives of the people here. They've been found, and we know that our name is in the book of life, that you have made a place for us. You've gone to prepare a place in heaven for us. And how easy it would be for us just to get comfortable and to say, I know I'm going to heaven. I'll just enjoy my life. But God, you've called us to be soul winners. God, many of us are like the two percenters that have never invited anybody to Jesus. We've never ever shared our story of faith. We've never shared the gospel. God, I'm not saying that to beat us up, God. It's not an easy thing. Fear and God, the work of the enemy will try to bind us from doing that. But God, this little simple plan is a plan that, God, you put in the heart of Andrew one day, and he went and found his brother, and his brother came, and God, you used Peter to bring many, and used D.L. Moody, and used Billy Graham, and God, the story goes on and on and on. God, we don't know who in our community that you might use in a great way. Maybe it would be someone right here as we just make this commitment today. And so I'm asking you, as we stand before you this morning, as we lay our lives before your throne, as we think about the cross of Calvary this morning and how much you love us and how much you did to give your life, not just for us, but for the world. God, could you use us? Would you use us, God? We, this morning, affirm our hearts and our lives, and we make a commitment. We dedicate our lives as individuals and collectively as a church body this morning to make this little plan of Operation Andrew work. We're going to pray, and we're going to seek you, and we're going to lay our lives before you. And Father, this week, we're just going to pray hard. We're going to make this a matter of diligent prayer. We're going to start to pray, God, that you give us a burden and a passion and a desire for lost people to be found. And that, God, you begin to show us who you want on this list. God, I pray this morning that you'll stir our hearts like they've never been stirred before. There will be people that will never give up the call of God to do our part. As long as there's breath in our lungs, that we would exalt and lift up the name of Jesus and be people that are bringing lost people to Christ. And so we offer this little program, this little ministry, this mission to you in Jesus' name. We just pray against the gates of hell that they will not prevail, that on Easter Sunday morning that you will bring together people, that there'll be a harvest of lost souls that come and are found and are saved and whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I pray that today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Our closing anthem, Steve's going to lead us in today. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Let's sing it.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth.
Go this morning. If you don't have one of these little cards in your hand, please take one. Begin to pray hard this week. Thank you so much for being here in worship today. All of you new friends that are here, thanks for coming. You're welcome. Please come back again. We love you all. Have the best week, and I'll see you Sunday, if not before.